about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
Help! Somebody say help. Help, my Lord, O King. You see? Then go on, verse 27. And he said, the king said, if the Lord does not help you, when shall I help thee? Tell someone, if the Lord doesn't help you, nobody can help you. If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn flour. Where's Spencer? Where's Devonia? Where are they? Anyway. So he said, if the Lord does not help thee, when shall I help thee? How? Can I help you out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? So then he goes on, and the king said to her, what is wrong? And she said, this woman said to me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. Verse 29. So we boiled my son. Mercy. It's not a nice story. How many would want your son to be boiled? I mean, boiling is not as bad as eating. At least. Anyway. So we boiled my son and we did eat him. Hey. You're not even ashamed of saying such a thing. And I said to her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hid her son. Of course, you should have hidden your son. Ladies and gentlemen, that is how desperate these guys were. Sometimes you get so desperate, you know, that you don't, people sell themselves in desperation. Hey, what's going on? You didn't respond anymore after the text. Okay, so we boiled my son. You know, it takes desperation to want to boil your son and to eat. I mean, look for some dog and boil the dog or something. Yeah, you know, but to boil your son, that's a serious situation. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's easy to judge people for the things they do. But you haven't been there. These days, that's what I've noticed. That don't be too quick to judge, because you haven't been there. Let him that has gone to war and has come back and taken off his armor, let him boast, not you who is now going. Yeah, if you have not lost a job before, don't speak and say, since he lost a job, he doesn't move anymore. If you've not been depressed before, don't say, why is he talking about this? If you've not been lonely before, you don't know what is suicide. Amen. If you've not been depressed before, you can judge somebody, he's not a nice person. He keeps to himself. So why don't you reach out to help? Bible says, if you don't have what it takes to take the log from your mouth, don't make yourself too experienced to take the little mote from somebody's eye. Judge not, so that you'll not be judged. Many people just judge people. And why is he not going to school? Have you paid his school fees? Give her money. Buy her books. Pay her tuition. See whether she won't go. Then you can talk. Why is it that this old car, you should buy a new car by now? Really? So this woman who ate her son, it is some way, I like to describe situations, not people these days. It's a bad situation, but I can't say she's a bad woman. No real person without a certain real problem will eat the son. And that woman who said, no, I'm hiding my son, we won't eat my son, she's not better than the other woman who ate the son. If they had, because now she's eating, so she's full. That's why she can hide the son. Perhaps if it turned and they ate her son first, the other woman would have said the same thing. So it looks like she's a smart girl. It's because the situations are different. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why the king said, except the Lord helps you, I cannot help you. Today, we're going to call for help from above. Supernatural help. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Help that will prevent you from eating your own son. Help that will prevent you from doing something desperately wicked. Help that will prevent you from doing evil to yourself and to others. Yeah. You know, it's not everybody who steals who's a thief. It's not everybody who sleeps around who's a prostitute. You haven't seen something before. That's why you can label people. It's not everybody who doesn't come to church who's backslidden. Don't be too quick. Psalm 20. Say, Lord, help me. May the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Verse 2. May the God send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee from Zion. Put your hands together for Jesus. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? I want to challenge you these days. Pray from the Bible. Take the Bible, put it down, and quote it. Tell the Lord, this is what you said. Yeah. The Bible says the Lord, he watches upon his word to perform. I've seen that's what Bishop is doing now. He just brings the Bible and he prays verse after verse. That's what I'm doing. And I'm going to recommend to you to do it. Open your Bible and let's pray with this. Now, tell the Lord, you see, now he's saying that David is speaking to you. He says that from verse 1. It says, may the Lord hear you in the day of trouble. We want to pray that to the Lord. Lord, on the day of trouble, hear me. I've had trouble. Look, this weekend there, I saw some guy. Blood was gushing like a tap. And everybody had gone on vacation. And it was Thanksgiving Day. The specialists were gone. Surgeons were gone. Only two nurses had stayed. And because I do travel medicine this time, there was not even a home to go to. So they called me. I said, no problem. That's when I realized that if the Lord doesn't help you, nobody can help you. And they brought a machine I've never used before. An equipment I've never tried before. Look, the people thought I was an expert, but I was, the way my face was to seriousness, I was praying. May the Lord hear me in the day of trouble. This is day of trouble. This day of trouble. As I spoke, I'm sure they thought this African is speaking his African language. It was tongues. Ka baluzi, brother. Lord, today, calm down thyself. Send not thy son, for this is not a children's issue. That was somebody's prayer. And may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. As I spoke, and then verse 2 says, send help. Send help from your sanctuary. Your sanctuary is your place where, you know, a sanctuary is a special place, a protected place. Nobody normally comes there. That's a special place. I said, send special help from a special place. And strengthen me out of Zion where you live. Look, they gave me the thing. I showed the thing. And at the next day, that I couldn't see anything. It was all blood. And I said, okay, whatever. Tap on the thing. How it happened, I don't know. I couldn't see. The blood was... And then immediately he tapped, the thing stopped. Clap for the Lord Jesus. No more bleeding. They started looking at me like a magician. I said, the real magician is behind. You guys, you don't know. He's up here. God is going to do some magic for you today. God is going to do some magic for you today. God is going to send you with some help today. In the name of Jesus. Because he watches his word to perform. I have refused to use my own words and my tears, but just to quote back God's word to him. This convention, Christmas, we'll have a convention. And we're going to be anointed. We're going to pray some prayers. We're going to believe God for some miracles in Jesus' name. Watch it. Make a date. 3 days. By the grace of God. What are the dates? I don't even know. But you will be blessed. Rise up and let's pray. I don't know what your trouble is, and I don't know when your day of trouble is coming, but tell the Lord, Lord, send me help from your sanctuary. Remember to help me in the day of trouble. Some of you have trouble now. Your day of trouble is now. Some of you don't have trouble. Remember, tell the Lord, send me help from your sanctuary in the day of trouble. Verse 1 and 2, put it together. 1 and 2. Begin to raise your voice. Tell the Lord, I have no helper but you. There is nobody but you. There is nobody who can help me but you. If you don't help me, who can help me, Lord? Put 1 and 2 together. Put 1 and 2 together. If you do not help me, Lord, who can help me? I am coming to your sanctuary. I am coming to Zion. I'm asking, hear me in the day of my trouble, the day of my issues, the day of my problems. Hear me and let the name of the God of Jacob defend me. You defended Jacob. You defended Jacob from Esau. You defended Jacob from Laban. You defended Jacob from trouble. Lord, when he was in trouble, you did it. I am a child of Jacob. I am a child of Isaac. I am a child of Abraham. I am therefore your child. Do it for me as well. Those that have financial trouble, give us financial help. Those of us that have spiritual trouble, give us spiritual help. Those of us who have health-related trouble, give us medical help. Those of us who need social, who have social problems, give us social help. In the name of Jesus, those of us who need physical help, Lord, help us literally, help us physically. Without you, what can we do? Send help from your sanctuary. Send help. Send help, Lord. Send help. Send help from your sanctuary.
You did it for Jacob, oh God.
Oh God. If you do not help us, we will not be helped. This year, may we see your help. This month, may we see your help. Before the end of the year, let the solutions come. Let the power manifest. We need your help. We need your help.
We need your help.
We need your help.
We need your help.
We need your help. Lord, my help comes from you. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Jesus, help us. Make a way.
In the name of Jesus.
Make a way.
Make a way.
Now, I want you to put your hand on your heart and tell the Lord, I may not know what is going on in my body, but heal this body, heal this flesh, heal this heart, heal my pride, heal me from pride, deliver me from evil. Oh, deliver me from my own mouth that has put me in trouble many times, from my words that have gotten me in trouble. Deliver me, deliver my heart from the feelings, from the thought processes, from the evil thinking that has oftentimes put me in trouble. Send me help from your sanctuary. Send me help. Send me help.
Send me help, oh God. Send me help, oh God. Send me help, oh God. Jesus. Send help from your sanctuary. Help your children. Help your church. Help your people. Help us individually. Help the families in this church. Help your people, Lord. Help those who need marital help. Help those of us who need marital help. Help those of us who need favor from our bosses. Make a way. Turn things around. Send help. In Jesus' mighty name. Touch two people and tell them, the Lord will help you. 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 Tell somebody, help is on the way. Help is on the way. I will help you. Wow. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. I can't wait. Because this December, we are going to talk about the help. My help comes from the Lord. I said this convention that is coming is going to be about the Jacobic type of help. Yeah. The Jacob type of help. This is how it is. It comes straight from the sanctuary. It comes, brings strength from Zion. It comes on the day of trouble. And it comes to defend you like God defended Jacob. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I receive every help you have given me. I walk in every help you've given me. I operate in your help. My help comes from you, not from mankind. What can man do for me? You can do far more. I prefer your help to what any man can give. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for the Lord. Tell three people.
For so many years, serving the Lord and working in the church. Now I have a greater passion to love my Lord. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. God is so great, yet it seems so far. When I talk to him, it seems that he doesn't even hear. How can I love God whom I cannot see? But this is my dream, the goal of my life. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you more is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more. Fall in love with you so deeply. Lord, show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve without loving you. If any man really loves me, he will keep my commandments. Lord, I am meditating on your word so I can love you more. Lord, please help me to keep your commandments. What have you told me that I'm not doing? Where have you sent me that I'm not going? Am I holding back? I want to sacrifice all for you. loving you with all of my heart. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you, Lord, is a great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deeply. Lord, show me how to love you more. Oh, I don't want to serve without loving you. Oh, if any man really loves me, he will keep my commandments. Lord, I want you back as hard as I can, because you love me more. I wanna be just like Jesus, he who loved the Father so. I know that eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That is why I wanna love you more. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you more is a great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deeply. Lord, show me how to love you more. Oh, I don't want to serve without loving you. I'm getting closer to you, and I will keep loving you until the end. Someday I'll be called a friend of God. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. Oh, to love you, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deeply. Lord, show me how to love you more. I want to love you. I don't want to serve with loving you. Oh, Lord, show me how to love you more. I want to love you. I don't want to serve without loving you. Oh,
hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Okay. Amen. Let me tell you something really quickly. There was a blind man in the Bible. His name was Bartimaeus. Amen. How many people? Yes, he was blind. How many people know that he just wanted one thing, and that was to see? Amen. His faith had to make him whole. He had to walk by faith and not by sight. And when Jesus was walking through the crowd, he heard it. And the louder that the presence came, the louder he got. The closer that Jesus came, the louder he became. Amen. And most people wanted him to be quiet, but he refused them, and he became louder. Amen. And how many of us know that Jesus had to go to the Father, but he left his presence here with us, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is here with us. And how many of us know what two or three are gathered? His presence is here in the midst of us. Amen. And how many of us know that he gave us a pastor after his own heart? Amen. How many of us know that the pastor is the mouthpiece for God himself? So if I were you, I would be on my feet and be like blind Bartimaeus. The presence of God is here. The presence of God is here. The be presented to you the words from his heart. So be on your feet and please welcome our very own Ali.
Those who know your name,
put
their trust in you.
There is no other
faithful God, so loving and true.
Those who know
your name,
put
their trust in you.
There is no other
faithful God,
so loving and true.
See you jump that way.
Oh, how I love his name so sweet.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
No other name means more to me.
How I love
the name of Jesus.
How I love
his name so sweet.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
No other name means more to me.
Put your hands together for Jesus.
Oh, what a great Father we have. Lift up your hands to heaven, to the mighty breasted one, to the source of all help. My help comes from the Lord.
I will lift up my to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, he will not suffer thy foot
to be moved.
The Lord which keepeth thee,
he will never slumber nor sleep.
He will not slumber.
Upon your right hand.
Upon thy right hand.
Yes, Lord.
Upon thy right hand.
No, thy sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night.
He shall preserve your soul.
He shall preserve your soul.
Even forevermore. He's the everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Lift up your hands and say, my help comes from the Lord.
My help
comes from my help. All of my help cometh from the Lord.
Oh, clap for the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that you who keep Israel will never slumber nor sleep. Amen. We will forever receive help. Thank you for the helper, the Holy Spirit, who has kept us since Jesus. Through you, Jesus Christ gave him to us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let the word of God have free course. Speak to us and to edification, comfort, salvation, healing. Instruct us, correct us, rebuke us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together and give three people a high five. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You know, today I just want to share with you about who God truly is. The ultimate name of God is Father. You know, Father. Many of us, when we are praying, we deal with God as though we are dealing with an image, a golden image. I mean, we're almost like we are disciples of Aaron. That is, Aaron, when Moses was not there, Aaron led the rest of Israel to worship and a golden an image, idol, as the God of Israel. And God got very mad. Ladies and gentlemen, you may think that that thing is over. It is in the church. Many of us address God as if he's an idol. We emphasize on the deity part rather than the relational part of God. God is called the living God. Yeah, he's a living God. And I just want you all to know that the best way to relate with God, actually what God likes the most, is to relate with him as a father. Ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, you know, God presented himself as father through Jesus Christ. You know, God has been worshipped in many ways. You know, there's a scripture in Exodus chapter 6. I want to read from verse 3. Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. You know, if you address God as father, like Jesus did, that is when you start living the relational aspect of Christianity. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Amen. I don't know who started with you with Christianity, but if they presented a religion, they were wrong. Because religion is man's efforts to reach God. Christianity is God's effort at reaching man and restoring man. That's why he sent his only begotten son. He did not wait for us to come to him. He did not wait for me. Do you know that song? Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, God was saying, I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by my name, God Almighty. Yeah. God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known. So Almighty is El Shaddai, God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. That means that generations come and go without knowing God. What God wants to present is how he likes to be identified. That's how he manifests. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they knew God by God Almighty. But they didn't know the name Jehovah. Jehovah means the promise-keeping God. Covenant-keeping God. He made a lot of promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They didn't see any of them. Because his name was El Shaddai. God Almighty. They see power. But the manifestation, he said, now I am presenting my new name. My name is Jehovah. The covenant-keeping. Now I'm going to honor the promises that I made to your forefathers. So start relating with me as Jehovah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just like God told the people of Israel and the Moses' era, that you guys, you know Abraham, you know Isaac, you know Jacob, they knew me by God Almighty. That's the name they knew me by. But they didn't know Jehovah. Now you are going to get to know me by this new name. The name is Jehovah. I am going to honor the promises that I made to your father. So watch me as I deliver you, as I take you from Egypt, I take you through the Red Sea, and I give you the promised land, the covenant-keeping, promise-fulfilling God is Jehovah. Clap for the Lord Jesus. What it means is that whatever God wants to do, he often makes an appearance in that name. Yeah. Now, when I come to you as Dr. Lindsay, you know I'm about to scope you, all right? You know it's about Tylenol, right? You know it's about infusions and injections, right? That is a physician at work. I'm going to be in my white coat and I present, Dr. Lindsay, that's my name. And that's what you get, medicine. Yeah. When I present myself to my children, to my wife as husband, now it's going to be, the day I got married, I became Mr. Lindsay. Yeah. And that's when my shirt goes off. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Uh-huh. And that is when my wallet comes up. That is when I start behaving like a proper husband to take care of the home. A husband has appeared by name. Yeah. And when I appear as reverend, sometimes when my wife quarrels with me. And then she realizes that the thing is becoming funny. You know, then she just whisks out the name, Reverend Lindsay. It means, hey, you're a pastor, behave yourself. Suddenly, I have to operate by that name, Reverend. And then suddenly all the quarrels go away. Then she realized, this is a reverend, you can't talk to him like that. Then she stops quarreling with me. Clap for the Lord Jesus. But, ladies and gentlemen, when I appear before my children, they don't call me Reverend Lindsay. They don't call me Dr. Lindsay. They don't call me husband. They call me daddy. Then my daddisms appear. Then I can waste my wallet. Then I can sign. Then I can pay tuition. Then I can rebuke them properly. Then I can set examples. Then I can come sit in my car. Let me take you. Let me help you do your homework. Let me be a father. Let me go shopping. It's about time to go to school. You need some new school clothes. Then the father appears. A name means something. A name means something. A name identifies somebody's role. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not deity. Stop referring. He's God, but he does not want you. Yes, I'm a physician. I don't want my children calling me Dr. Lindsay. Ladies and gentlemen, the era of El Shaddai is great. The era of Jehovah is great. But this is the era of Abba Father. Jesus Christ brought that name, Abba Father. Now God wants to make an appearance, a manifestation, wants to show up to his children, not servants, not just people. We are the children of God. Jesus Christ came as a son to demonstrate what the Father's new identity ought to be for his children. Actually, he died for that. In John chapter 19, verse 7, when they were accusing, the only thing that caused him to actually be convicted was they said there is a law. Jews answered him, we have a law. By our law, Jesus ought to die. Why? Why? Watch this. Because he made himself the Son of God. It's a problem for them because they had not known God as Father. Or anybody, I'm the child of God. That's what the Muslims don't want to hear. That's the thing. They said, yes, we believe Jesus Christ. We believe the divine source from God. But he's a prophet. He's not a child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why it's a religion. And no religion will ever believe that anybody will come as the son of God. I don't blame them. I don't blame the Muslims. I don't blame the Hindus. I don't blame the whoever it is, Krishna or whatever, because they can't fathom the fact that God will make an appearance as daddy. But in Jesus, he came as daddy. And Jesus had to die to reveal that name. A great price has been paid for us to use the word, the name daddy, Abba Father. And it's wrong, therefore, that we address God as if he's a graven image. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to see God as Father. Inside that Father is God Almighty El Shaddai. Inside that Father is Jehovah, the promise-keeping God. Inside that Father is the God of all grace. Inside that Father is everything. It's a conglomeration. It's a buffet. Yeah, when I arrive as daddy to my children, I can actually become a physician. I call in prescriptions sometimes for them. Yeah, and it's not wrong. There's nothing against it. Yeah, it's the truth. I pray, lay hands on them as a reverend. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's because they are my children. Yeah. I play with them as a friend. Sometimes we play basketball, we play games, we play as a friend. I arise, I provide for them their school fees, their tuition. But that's because they have a buffet in that name, Daddy. Yes. Clap for the Lord, Daddy. God wants a relationship. And I do all that to the kids because of the relationship. I don't do that to the patients in the hospital. I don't do that. Even to some of you. Because you prefer to call me reverend. Yeah. Last time I told you that my son had the audacity. I didn't even know it. I just looked at my credit card items and I saw he had been eating off my credit card. And not only eat with anything, but Uber Eats. He calls, he sits in his room and he calls Uber. Go pick up food from this place and drive here. I'll pay you for the food and for the ride. And I'll give you a tip, all on my credit card. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Because he has a relationship. I am dealing with my daddy, not a reverend, not just a doctor. He didn't call any doctor. They have a primary care physician, but they didn't use that credit card. Ladies and gentlemen, there are certain things, unless you relate with God as Father, you will never get. You will never get. And you must learn to relate with God as Father. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. That is why we have to be born again. That is the reason why we needed to be born. No religion. Tell me one religion that the requirement is to be born of God. John chapter 1 and verse 11 to verse 13 speaks it. The Bible says over there that he came to his own children, his own received him not. But he says, but as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children or sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Clap for the Lord Jesus. As many as received him. When you receive God, that Jesus brings. Jesus, this is talking about Jesus Christ. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning was with God, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was light, and light was... All these things was talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. He came to his own, and his own received him not. When Jesus came, unlike Krishna, unlike Muhammad, unlike any of the prophets, he came to his own. And as many as received him, how many have received Jesus Christ as your personal savior? I have news for you. Once you received him, he gave you the power not to become an idol worshiper, not to worship a deity. He gave you the power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. What a great piece of news. Clap for the Lord Jesus. God is Father. Listen, and it says that as many has believed, you have now the power. Tell somebody, I have the power to be a son. I have the power to be a daughter. Ask somebody, do you know my daddy? Yeah. Be careful how you treat me, man. Watch it, man. I'm a child of the king. The king of kings is my father. Sometimes I tell situations, do you know who my father is? I tell situations. Yeah, that if you haven't seen a miracle before, watch me. My father is a miracle worker. My father is a miracle worker. Just the same way that my children, sometimes they tell their class, my daddy is a reverend. My daddy is a physician. My daddy is a this. It means that there's some power. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, he gave us power. Power is ability to do work. Work with it. Many Christians do not work with the power that they have in God as Father. You have become Christian idol worshippers. Yeah. There are idol worshippers in this church that worship God. God, do you know that Aaron, when he presented the idol, he didn't have any bad intention? He was not trying to worship another God. He was trying to worship the God that Moses had introduced to them. That's what he thought. He said, bring your earrings. As for this Moses, we don't know when he's coming. Let's make an image and worship God ourselves. Because Moses may never come back. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what that means? That means that God is not happy with you, even if in his name you worship an idol. God is not happy when, in the name of God, Jehovah, you are making an image out of him. And I'm going to show for you in the Bible. And so God says that he came to his own received. As many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. And then I like the next verse, verse 13. He said, we were not born by flesh or the will of man. No, we which were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You are born of God. You are God's child. I mean, if you say, this my child is born of Reverend Lindsay. You know, he's born of me. This is my child. God says, you were not born with flesh and blood like this, but nor of the will of man. It's not somebody who decided this man must be born again, but God. You are born of God himself. Oh, may you receive that revelation. You are blessed. You are blessed. Your being born again, if you are born again, was not somebody's decision. Was not flesh and blood. Was God who gave birth to you. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 5, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. When your parents gave birth to you, you are flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God is spirit. Did you know that? And Bible says in John 4 that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So therefore, if God is spirit, then when you are born of God, you attain a spiritual nature. My darling, my brother, my sister, begin to not feel as though you're forsaken. How come you behave as if you don't have anybody relating with you? God is your father. And that means a whole lot if you can understand it. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, Adam was born of the Spirit. And Jesus was born of the Spirit. They are the only two people in the Bible that are called the sons of God before Jesus came. It's called the first Adam and the last Adam. First Adam was called the son of God in Luke chapter 3. I think verse 38. As they were doing their genealogy, and this was the child of this, the father of this, and they reached Adam. Adam, who was the son of God. Only two people in the Bible were referred to that, like that. And Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because both of them were born of the Spirit. Adam, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Bible says, and God made man in his image. And God made man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So Adam, it was not flesh and blood. I'm going to tell you, there are three people that were called the sons of God in the Bible. Adam, Eve, and you. Wow. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I said Adam, Jesus, and you. Yes. Adam was born of the Spirit. No flesh and blood. No copulation. No man and woman came together. No man and woman. It's a spirit. That's one. Then Satan corrupted that nature. So God, I told you the last time, when God said that I've created man in his own image, it's not the dust image. God created man out of the dust of the ground. So if you say God looks like you with eyes and things, skin like this, you are insulting God. It means God is dust. It's human being that is dust, made of the dust, but God put his breath of life, his spirit. So it is that spirit that made man look like God. It's a spirit. God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. Adam was made spiritual because he was just dust until the Spirit of God came into him. What makes you the child of God is God's spirit, not your blood that your father and your mother mixed together. Not the will of man, not the decision we're going to born you, if there's a word like that. Not flesh and blood, we're going to born you, not sperm and egg. Adam, number one. Number two is Jesus, the second Adam, the last Adam, which is the one, Bible says, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, came upon him. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Joseph had never slept with Mary when Jesus was conceived. So Jesus came into the world, a spiritual man, to tell you the child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, therefore, if anybody has to become a child of God, you must of necessity be born of the Spirit. That's why you are the third Adam. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That which is born of the Spirit. That's why the Bible says in John 1, verse 13, that first of all, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children or sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then, let me explain further. Which were born, not of blood, not a clot of blood, not sperm and egg, nor of the will of the flesh. You know how before you're born, the flesh has to start behaving. Nor of the will of man, not a decision, but of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Of God, of God, of God. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not born again, you will never become a child of God. It's never going to happen. Until you are born of the Spirit, you will never be a child of God. The Muslims can say all they want that Jesus is not the Son of God, but they are wrong. And eternity will display it. And do not accept anybody's idea that this new birth, some of you, because you are Christians and you are born into a family, your Christianity has been family Christianity. You've never been born again. You can easily go to hell, be birthed into a truly Christian family, but go to hell. Because you never became a man of the Spirit. God never was your father. And it's in the Bible. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Watch this. I said that three spiritual people in this world are who came to this world. Adam, Jesus, and you and I. You. Adam, Jesus, and you. Say Adam, Jesus, and me. That is if you are born again. Only three. Now, Bible says in Romans 8, 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the word, the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you. Wow. The day I saw this scripture, I was mesmerized. I like the second part. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man does not have the Spirit, Brenda, if you are not born again, you are not of Christ. If you don't accept the spiritual new birth, you are not, you don't belong. And when the rapture comes, it will show. Amen. The only way you can get there is by the new birth. It's by being born of God, by being spiritual, and by that, becoming a child of God. There are no cousins in Christianity. There are no grandchildren in Christianity. That's right. I'm a child of God. You are a child of God. It doesn't matter how old you are. We are children of God, not grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all kinds of things like that. There ain't nothing like that. It's direct relationship. Yes, all of us are children. Even Jesus Christ is not called a big brother. Or in fact, it's a big brother, not an uncle or a grandfather. Romans 8, 29. I was shocked. Yeah, I was shocked. Bible says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Now you are in conformity to the image of his son. That you are no longer just as you look like Jesus if you have the Spirit of Christ. That's why Jesus said, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. I told you, the thing that makes you in God's image is not your flesh, your black skin, your red skin, your yellow eyes, or whatever it is. But it's the Spirit of God that's inside of you. That's why God created man in his image. It was the Spirit that is inside. But Satan corrupted it. Jesus had to reintroduce that Spirit. You better be born again. Amen. Yeah. And so, Jesus Christ himself, he said that God predestinated that we will be conformed to the image of his son Jesus, so that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren, not a great-grandfather. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Firstborn. He's the firstborn. I don't know what number I am, maybe million and something. But Jesus is our firstborn. I don't know what number you are, but you better join the family lineage. God is our father. God is not, forget the deity part is part of it, but the father is the most important thing. You don't understand this fact, man. The day I understood it, I started basking in the glory of God. I started eating Uber Eats. Uber Eats. With impunity. With audacity. With boldness. And today I'm going to reveal to you in the Bible that, man, you're missing if you are not going for big things in God. Because God, our Father, is a generous God. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ never referred to God as God in all his deliberations. Whenever he referred, he was praying. He can tell people that God sent me, God, but when he was referring, like praying, he would say, Abba Father, you know that all things are done. And even when he said, he was teaching us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and he taught them to pray, saying, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Clap for the Lord Jesus. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven. Not, oh God. I don't do, oh God. Amen. I don't do God. I do Daddy. I do Father. Amen. When you see me talking to God, it's like, look, the way I talk to my daddy, that's the way I talk to God. Yeah, sometimes I just chat. Yeah. Stop referring to God. That's, now I understand why some people pray, Father God, Father God. Now I understand. My Father is God. God is my Father. So I don't pray, you know, I'm sure I've done it. But consciously, I try to refer to God as Father. That, oh God, comes from me, my mouth. But generally speaking, I like to intentionally say, oh, Father. Abba, Father. Oh, my Father. My Father, you know that things are tough. Daddy, even Holy Ghost, I call him Holy Ghost. Yeah, I have a nickname for him. I want to be relational with God. Don't treat God as if it's an idol. Let me give you some features of Christian idol worship. Church idol worshipers. Do you want to know? Do you want to know whether you're an idol worshiper or you are a son or a daughter? Would you like to know that? How to identify yourself? Whether you are a child of God or you are an idol worshiper? Should I show you from the Bible? Can you handle it? Okay. You brought yourself. Let's do it. Acts chapter 17. Yeah. I'm going to give you signs. Signs of Christian idolatry. Number one. When all your time for worship is restricted to church. You are an idol worshiper. You just came to a shrine, not to church. Yeah. Hey, it's good to see you, dear. When all your worship is concentrated in church, you are an idol worshiper. You come to a shrine, not to church, not to Father. You are a shriner. You should be going to Alchemia with Shriners, not coming to this church. I'll say it again. When all your spiritual activity is restricted to these four walls, you only become spiritual when you come to church. You better go home. You will not go to heaven. You are an idol worshiper. I'm serious. You better change. The best part of your Christianity should be in your closet. That's a real. My, come here, my son. Come. Even here, we don't see him. That most of his interaction with me is not in church. It's at home. He calls me even when I'm working. He texts me. He tells me his problems. I may be sleeping, he will knock. Yeah. He's interacting 24/7. If your Christianity is restricted to church, you are an idol worshiper. Please do not convert this church into a shrine, because that's not what it was meant for. Amen. We don't want any idol worshipers here. Get out. Just go. Just leave. If all you do by way of Christianity is in this church, leave and let's know that. Don't be deceived. then when you go to hell, you can understand. Rather than accusing God, I was in church all the time. No, you are worshiping an idol. You can sit down, son. Oh, it's getting quiet. It's better get quiet. It's food for thought. This is just point number one. Your church can be a shrine. I don't do Christianity. I come to learn here and practice outside. Actually, we should put on this wall as we're going out, welcome to church. As you're leaving, not what you're coming. Church starts when you leave here. It's just like I go to medical, go to school, medical school, but I practice when I leave medical school. You don't start working while you're a student. You're an engineer. You're in engineering school. What's your problem? School is for engineering. Engineering is for school. But the action is for when you get out of school. Let your Christianity start and let's see that God is really your father. Yeah. My children, the things, watch my children. Watch them. Their biggest interaction, their longest interaction is with me. Outside the church. If you don't spend time praying, my brother, my sister, you are an idol worshiper. Change. If all the Bible reading you have ever is in church, you never listen to your father's words when you're out there, you are an orphan or you are a bastard. You don't have a daddy. And Christianity is about relationship to fathers. You don't belong. Christ said it, not me. No, all you need to do is change. Stop becoming an idol worshiper. Because when people made an idol and called it God, God was not happy. When you make his church an idol, he's not happy with you, even though you come to church. It's hard, but it's good. It's healing. Acts chapter 17 from verse 22. Bible says, Paul, he went to a place that people were worshiping. They called church Mars Hill. Look at what he saw. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Mars Hill. Give me maybe a simpler English, New King James or something. And said, you men of Athens, you men of Lighthouse, you men of UD, QFC. I perceive that in all things you are very religious, not relational. That many of you are very religious. Akwi, are you a religious person or you are a relational person with God? Answer for yourself. Tell somebody, we're changing. Listen, he said, I perceive that in all things, you guys are very religious. And I found a lot of religion in this church. Yesterday, I got the kids and I told them, if you don't listen to your father, you will never be your father's child. Yeah, the thing that makes a difference is your father's words. It's not the man that, any man can be in the house, but his words to direct, to instruct, to correct, to rebuke, that's what makes you not a bastard. And I told them, unless they start reading the Bible at home, they will never be God's children. They will never be. I'm telling you, if God's words are not heard by you on a daily basis, this 1 hour or 45 minutes is what you think makes you a child. You're joking, man. You're joking. If I can father this child only 1 hour a week, he'll be a bastard. Are you a bastard?
No.
Are you an orphan?
No.
May you not be.
Amen.
You're very religious. Verse 23. He said, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. Objects. Tell somebody they are objects of worship. Church is one. Pastor is another. Sometimes your choir may be an object of worship. That's the only time that you come here. Observe the objects of your worship. I even found an altar in the spirit. He found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. Some of you, the God you worship, you don't know him. You have no relationship with him. You can't even cry to God. You're not emotional when it comes to tithes and you are giving. It's because you're afraid that a curse will come to you. Not because I'm coming to honor my father. I do tithing not for, it's not, I tithe not as if I am in a casino. Set more, win more. I come because I'm coming to honor my father. I've never expected anything. As a matter of fact, the day I gave my biggest offering, the following month, I lost my job. Yeah, but I was okay. Because I know my father got my back. A voice told me, it's the same God who got you this job, he'll get you a better one. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Your father will never forsake you nor leave you. If you can relate with him. Some of you, a little problem and you stop relating with God. A little problem. It's because it's not your father. It's an idol. It's a casino you are worshiping. It's an object of worship. It's getting quiet. At least it means you're thinking. To the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, today I'm proclaiming to you. Say amen. Say thank you, Pastor. Say thank you, Pastor. Shout thank you and give the Lord a word. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. It's better to find out now than to find out later that you only worshiped an idol. You made the church a shrine. Shrine worshipers. I'm not talking about you. They didn't come. Amen. Amen. Then verse 24. This is powerful. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands.
That's right.
When we come here, it's not because you are coming to God. Don't think I came to church, so I came to God. You are a joker.
Yeah.
You made the church a shrine. He's not worshipped in temples. We come to learn how to worship him. That's the role of church. Real worship is closet. Jesus said closet in Matthew 6. Get into your closet and close it. When you have shut it, then the Lord who sees in secret will reward you openly. Don't come and do worship here because you are making the church a shrine. You practice worship. Wake up. Practice worship. Hey, it's sweet, isn't it? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Say, ouch, hallelujah. Look, your Christian life from today will take a leap for the best you've ever had. If you can do according to these scriptures, you watch it. You came here as an idol worshiper. You are living here as a son, as a daughter who will relate with your father 24/7. Look, the sweetest worship I've had was in my car alone. Alone. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God disclosing, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Hey, and the joy we share as sweeter none other has ever known. God bless you. Put your hands together for Jesus. Junior, I'll beat you, eh? Listen. Christianity is sweet when you can have him with you all the time. Real blessed Christians is a 24/7 worship. Behavior, the way you speak, the way you talk, Bible reading, prayer. Prayer is not Shabbat, Shabbat for 2 hours and then you go and then you take a break. No, it's a continuous affair. Yeah. Do all things to the glory of God. Let church be an example of how people do things. It's iron sharpening iron. It's not a shrine. Bible says God is not worshipped. Doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. You got it wrong. Your God is the church. You got it wrong. You haven't started worshipping. Then he went on, verse 25. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. It's like you brought something, so I've come to worship you, and you go away. Come on now. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness. Your offering is not needed. You are the one who's blessed when you give. Your tithe is not needed. Can't you see that when you don't tithe, the church goes on? Yeah, the day you don't tithe, the church will still go on. If you tithe, you are the one blessed. I pity you if you don't tithe. I pity you because it's a curse that's coming to you. I pity you. I rather pity you. Not that I need your money. God doesn't need your money. I've tithed for a long time by the grace of God. It doesn't make a difference. Actually, I get more blessed. Because I'm doing it for my Father who has the ability to bless me. Yeah. He says, he is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Since he gives to all of us the life, the breath, and all the things that we ever had. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You are the one holding your thing. Huh? It's my phone. It's my car. It's my money. It's my money. Hey, he said everything, including your life, your breath, and everything you had, he gave it. Yesterday, I was telling some people that everything that you have, you are the one who thinks it's something great. It's nothing. It's nothing. What you have is nothing. It's earth. Earth. Let me show you. This is paper. It came from wood. Earth. You, the human being, your hair and your skin, it came from earth. God made man out of the dust of the ground. Earth. Chair. Metal. Your gold, your diamond, they're from the ground. People have looked at it. This is shiny, so it's called diamond. Therefore, pay a higher amount. But it's from the ground. It's gravels. Everything. Tell me one thing that is not from earth and that will not go back to earth. Tell me one thing that you made here. Paper that is colored green and you're making a fuss about because of that you're selling your Christianity. Because of that you're even blaspheming against God. Why do they want our money? Your money indeed, die and see, we'll spend it. I shouldn't say it. Die and see, you'll not even make a decision about how to use your money. We will make decisions. Not even about how we should carry you home. We will decide how to carry you home or to leave you here. We even decide when to bury you. You won't have any. That's why when I give this to God, I say thank you that I even have something to give.
Amen.
Thank you that I have something to give. I'm blessed that I even have once. You got 200. You say you won't give $2 to God. Yeah, shame on you. Shame on you, man. As though he needed anything. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Verse 26. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. He has determined even their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. God knows when you will die. We are the ones who are sometimes surprised. We are afraid of death. Don't be afraid. Your day is set. You can't go past it. You can reschedule a doctor's appointment, but your death, you can't reschedule. No, it's not. Don't be afraid. If it's tomorrow, be happy. Don't be afraid because you can't change it. And if you're a Christian, where we are going, there's no pain anyway. Tell somebody, wake up, wake up, wake up. Acts chapter 17, verse 27. He said, so that they should seek, because you know that your boundaries are set, because your God is the one who created, they should seek God. You should seek God. That they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he's not far from each of one of us. We have made him an idol. Verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Ladies and gentlemen, clap for the Lord Jesus. He is not far. If you are moving in him, then look, God is the one sustaining you. You don't even know it. In him we live and move and have our being. So it's like somebody who's at work, your boss pays you and said, I will not greet my boss. Who does it mean? And you walk away. You're about to be fired. I pity people who don't serve God. Or who have issues. Say, come to church and they have a problem. Like you, how you used to be. Yeah. Look. Bishop said something this morning. He said he's found that Christ is humility. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of humility. If you are not humble, you probably don't have Christ. It's true. He humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. He took on the form of man. He didn't count it equality with God as something to be grasped. But he humbled himself and took on the form of man and became obedient to the cross, even the death of the cross. To death. May you be humble.
Amen. I receive it.
May you be humble. Amen. Blah, 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 blah. The appointment is coming soon too. Whether it's 50 years or 100 years, it is to be there. God knows it. And you do, yeah. He said, look, this guy, does he know that I have the clip here? Being found in a... No. Girl, bring back to the scripture. Amen. I'm about to finish. Oh, it's only one point, eh? For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we all are his offspring. Clap for the Lord. Just tell somebody, I'm the child of God. I came from God. I'm a child of God. I'm going to verse 30. Verse 29 said, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, Daddy, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold. Don't treat him like an idol. Don't treat him like an object. Don't think that his divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by the art of man's devices. Never think God as the church. The church represents God and helps people to know God. The church is not God. It's the body of Christ. Then 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You didn't know it before, but from now, read. That's why the Bible challenge that we read one chapter a day is only for Christians. Those who don't do it, they are not Christians. It's true. They are not Christians. I'm telling you. If you were told your daddy wants to speak to you every day and you are truly a son, my goodness. You were doing it already and now they have made it official. You are even happier. From today, you are going to be real Christians. Real, clap for the Lord. Real Christians. Oh, yeah. Look, if I don't preach to you this and you die, you will curse me forever. If you have the power to. If I don't teach you this while you are here, to start real relationship, you might not make it to heaven. No, not that your father, you will have, there was no father to call your father. Because God, he's God the Father. One day, I was misbehaving towards my father. My wife pulled my side and said, hey, you know what my wife told me? My father told me I don't do something. And I said, okay, he should just take himself. I've done what I could. It's okay. Hey, my wife pulled me aside and said, hey, do you know what you're saying? This man has many children. You have only one father. If you say he should go away, you are the one who loses a father. He has many more. Many others. Many times, who God is not dependent on God. God's nature doesn't change. But will we make him father? Or will we make him an idol? That's what matters. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It depends on you. It depends on you. Ladies and gentlemen, so the first thing, wow. When all your time for worship is restricted to the church, church has become your shrine. You're an idol, a Christian idol worshiper. Yeah. From today, let not your, whatever you see in church, practice it at home. Practice worship. Have music. Me, I don't play unbeliever music. 24/7. As I sleep, preaching is going on. Podcast is going on. Worship song, idol's music is going on. I create atmosphere for the presence of my Father to be always with me. Yeah. If God's presence is not going with you, it's not worth going. I'm telling you. Please, make God's presence real. Play Christian music. Play the Bible. Play the messages, preaching. And do relate with God. Prayer. Speak to God. Number two, signs of Christian idolatry. Number two, when you spend less time in your personal closet prayer, but more in a group prayer. I'll say it again. It's also, it may be similar, but you spend less time in your closet with God than the time you spend with people. What I mean is that if I have my child and all that he hears from me is when I'm talking to the group of people, is that a child? Do you understand what I'm saying? Marie, can you spend time with God if you have a daddy? You know, many times, because especially blacks, we don't have good role models for fathers. So when we say God is father, sometimes it's a problem. But maybe you should look at your mother, because mothers don't forsake the kids. And God is a mighty breasted, she's called the mighty breasted one. Yeah. So sometimes when we say God is father, you say, these father examples, many people don't have fathers. So it's difficult to identify. No problem. Use your mother. Do you spend less time with your parent? And then when you hear your parent is speaking to others, then you go there. No. It's wrong. Listen, in where I came from in Ghana, you are not allowed to interact with your father that much. They say you are disrespectful. I don't understand it. Because me, I play with my kids. This morning, my son was driving in a car. I said, no, leave your car. Leave it for somebody. I'll drive with you. I want to drive with you. I want to drive and chat with you. So we drove together here. We chatted. I sat out there, chatted with him for a while. Yeah. Son, I said, come, let's go and watch basketball. They spend a lot of time with me, especially when I come home. Yeah, they drop everything. Let's spend time with daddy. Spend more time in your closet. Spend time in prayer. And that's why I said, what Bishop is doing, Psalm 20 that we started, take it and use one line by line and talk to God. God, you should help me. Defend me like you defended Jacob. Give me help in time of trouble. Pick it and do it. Be a real child. Otherwise, you'll be an idol worshiper. Not only will you miss out on God, but you will be punished for idol worship. Number three, when you have not asked or answered the two big questions that Paul asked when he became born again, you have not asked yourself and answered. His two questions in the book of Acts chapter 9 were, Lord, who are you? Who are you, Lord? And what would you like me to do? These two questions. If you're a Christian, you haven't asked those questions. You see, just like in the house, the best thing is to know who your daddy is. Identify him as him. Know him. Know what he likes. Jacob, he knew what his father liked. He was told, give me this venison or whatever it is, goat meat. The mother said, such as I like. That is what brought the whole blessing. Let's know God. Let's learn who our Father is. That's what the Bible does for us. Who are you, Lord? What would you like me to do for you? Jesus Christ said, I must be about my Father's business. So any one sign of knowing who real Christians are is people who want to know more about God. It's a sign that you have become a Christian. It's a sign that you are in a relationship. I'm telling you, from now, go into the Bible and get to know. Ask God, please teach me. When you get, these are the signs that I see of Christians. I'm telling you, say you want to marry somebody. Is the person interested in God? Does the person want to know God more? If he doesn't, be careful. You may be marrying into a family where your father-in-law may be the devil. Because that child may be God, the devil's child. He doesn't want to know God. Please be careful. Who are you, Lord? What would you like me to do? He doesn't want to serve God. Be careful. Real Christians, real children, they know who their father is. They want to know, and they serve their father. My children clean my dishes. They clean my bathroom. Today, they cleaned the bathroom. They scrubbed. They made my bed. It's true. wash my cars or my car. I have one. Before you write a memo, he came to display. I said, I have only one car, please. I have only one car. Yeah, these days, you never know who is here. Yeah. They clean my car. They clean my room. They wash. They iron. They did my laundry. There's no real child who doesn't do chores. There's no real child who doesn't do chores. If you're in this church, you don't do the chores of the church. Be careful. You may not be a child of God. You may be in the idolatry session. I'm serious. Don't be offended when your father tells you, why haven't you done chores? And you get mad and you walk away. You're also another displaying another character. I'm only helping you. I'm telling you. You watch it. Even the people that want to know God, who read the Bible, want to know God, and the people who serve God, they are different. In fact, the Bible says in Malachi, that's how God ended the Old Testament. He said he's going to show the difference between those who two people. He said the difference is those who serve and those who do not. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 13. He said you will return and you see the difference between those who serve God and those who serve not. Those who do chores. Look, any house, the people that serve their father, they are often in favor. They're favored. Clap for the Lord Jesus! Malachi 3:18, then you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not serve him. He said, we'll treat them as the way a father spares his son, the verse before. Here. Yeah. Says, for they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. If I start from verse 13, I'll tell you, listen, serve God, join some ministry, do some chores in the church. Your words have been harsh, because you feel like God is not helping us. Then it goes on verse 14. You said, it is useless to serve God. What's the profit? Then verse 15. So now we call even the proud blessed. They even tempt God. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Who respected him. The Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before God. A book of remembrance will be written about you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You will never be the same. From today, as you've heard these things, because you have, look, you will cease to be an idol worshiper. I'm telling you, that's what this message will do. It will transform. The devil doesn't like it. It will transform you and your future, your career. This is one of the best messages you will ever hear. You will see. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Did you hear that? Who keep his name, meditate, daddy. Meditate, keep it in. All the time, God is on your mind. Yeah. Sometimes when I want to do something, man, how will God feel about this? How does daddy feel about this? How will daddy feel about this? Yeah. I was about to go and lie about, some days that I wandered off. And a voice inside of me, based on the word, said, why are you using the devil's weapons? It will kill you. Yeah. Go and tell them exactly what you want. If they don't give you, they don't give you. But at least you find favor with God. It was a meditation. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. It was a meditation. So why use a devil's weapon? You are not trained in that. It will kill you. He's looking for you already. It will kill you. Never use your enemy's weapons. It might kill you. It may be reset such that actually where you put the bullet may be actually the firing place. Yeah. And he said, verse 17, then he said, they shall be mine. God says, I'll make you my own child, says the Lord of hosts. On that day that I make my jewels and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'm talking to you about the signs of Christian idol worshippers. Number one is those whose all their Christian activities centered in church. The church is a shrine. When they leave, it's over. That's an idol worshiper. Number two is the people who spend less time with God. Yeah, than they spend with others. They spend less time. I mean, they are jittery. When they pray, 2 minutes, I want to go. Learn to spend time just in worship. Just lie down and play. Create an atmosphere. Number three is those who have not answered the two questions. Who are you, Lord? Who want more of God? And those who want to serve God. Number four is when the house of the Lord is not your house. You're an idol worshiper. Yeah. You want to hear people say, oh, they are church. That they are church. It's my house. It's your house. Your daddy's house is your house. When you have not found a home in a church, you probably are not a Christian. Yeah. When your father's house is not your house, it's not mine. Take ownership wherever you go. Me, I don't care where I go. If so long as I belong here, I make it my home. This is my house, my daddy's house. I'll keep it clean. I will serve here. I'll make it better. I'll make it improve. How I met it will not be the same by the time I leave. Whenever I used to visit my auntie, I made it my home. Anytime, he said, when Kojo comes, this place will be different. Are you like that? Is God's house your house? Do you really? Joyce Peterson, is this your house? Make it your house. If it's your house, then do chores. Then feel comfortable. Relax. Make it your home. Do work here. Do chores. David said, Psalm 27 and verse 1, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. When it's church time and, oh man, it's Sunday again, there's a problem. Oh, serious. If going to church is a problem, you got a problem. Yes, that's right. If going to your father's house, what you call, if going to church is a problem, you don't probably, you're probably not a Christian. Yeah, because me, going to my father's house was a joy. Even my spiritual fathers, when I have to go and meet Bishop, it's a joy. If going to visit, go to your father's house is a problem, then perhaps not your father. These are signs, though. They are signs. And last one, when you are not usually about your father's business, it's a sign that you have. Listen, next week, God willing, I will talk to you about the generosity of Abba Father, God willing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll talk to you about the mercy of Abba Father. The compassion, the love. This is about you. Now I'm going to tell you about daddy. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I said today, I told you about how to identify yourself as a son, as a daughter. And I pray that you are. So that when I tell you about what your daddy has in store for you, you'll be mesmerized. You'll be so blessed. You'll be so happy. And I believe that that message is far more important than this. I did this first. Because what's the message of telling you about a woman who I will not give you to marry? Bringing you pictures and showing you signs. And then I say, oh, no, it's for somebody. So I make sure that you are the right people to tell about daddy. I'm going to reveal the secrets about daddy. That is mercy. That is generosity. That is power. That is authority. That is willingness to release you into greatness. Daddy is a great daddy. Put your hands together. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. Wow. What a blessing. Put your hand on your heart. I said, Daddy, I love you. No, speak to God. Speak to God and say, Father, I'm so sorry that I refer to you like deity, like an idol. I never intended to. Bible says that repent. Now, the days of ignorance, God winked at. But now, God is commanding everyone everywhere to repent. Speak to the Lord. Tell the Lord, Father, I will refer to you as daddy. I will do what a son does. I will do what a daughter does. I will not miss out on all the blessings that come from having a father. Children, God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to love you. God wants to show you his power, his grace, his love, his mercy. Listen, a father is not somebody you run away from. Another sign that you are not a child, I didn't write it down, but it just occurred to me. When you have a problem, instead of, they said, you are running away, rather than running to God, then you don't have a father. I'm telling you. Then you don't know who he is. But I'll tell you about that next week, God willing. Or, you know, the weeks that are coming. Lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you. I'm back.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.